இந்த அலம்துலில்லா வசலாத் வசலாம் அலா அஷ்ரஃபில் அம்பியா வஅலா ஆலிஹி வஅஸ்ஹாபிஹி வமன் வலா வபாத். மை டியர் பிரதர்ஸ் அண்ட் சிஸ்டர்ஸ், ரசூலுல்லாஹி ஸல்லல்லாஹு அலைஹி வஸல்லம் செட் டு முஆத் பின் ஜபல் ரதியல்லாஹு அன்ஹு ஒன் டே, ஹி ஸட், யா முஆத், ஷால் ஐ டெல் யூ வாட் இஸ் தி சம் டோட்டல், த மஜ்முஆ ஆஃப் த தீன்? And Muadh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu said, he was a young Ansari Sahabi, one of the favorite students of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the one who Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent to Yemen as the governor of Yemen. So he said, "Ya Rasulullah, please tell me, what is the essence, what is the sum total of deen?" And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this. He held his tongue between his two fingers. He pointed to his tongue. He actually held his tongue between his two fingers. He said, "This is the sum total of deen." The meaning of this is that it is the tongue which is the key to Islam, because the deen is in the ibadat. It consists of salah and fasting and hajj and zakat and so on. So by sum total of deen, it does not mean just the tongue. It means that what this tongue does is it opens the door towards the deen, or it opens the door away from deen. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, tell me that you will control two things and make two things subject to and subservient to the usul of Islam, and I will guarantee you Jannah." And the Sahaba said, "Ya Rasulullah, what are those two things?" And he said, "That which is between your jaws and that which is between your legs." He said, "These two things, you bring them under the rules of Islam and I will guarantee you Jannah." I remind myself and you, and Allah knows I need the reminder more than you. It is this tongue of ours which can be the means of great goodness, or it can be the means of great harm. The tongue does more damage than any sword. The tongue does more damage than any weapon. And the tongue is better than any medicine. The tongue breaks hearts and the tongue joins hearts. Somebody sent me a story. And they said that there was this little boy who had this problem with anger, and he would scream and rave and rant, and then later on he would feel sorry. So his father called him one day and he gave him a bag of nails and a hammer, and he told him that anytime you get angry and you start screaming, he said, "Go and hammer a nail into the wall." There was a wooden fence. So he said, "Go and hammer a nail into the fence." He said, "Stick a nail in the fence every time you scream." So this boy did that. So after a few years, he overcame this problem. So he came to his father and he said, "Dad, I'm over this. I now have control over my tongue, and I have overcome this problem of anger." So his father told him, "Now go and pull out all the nails that you hammered in the fence." He said, "Take them out." So the boy went and he pulled out all the nails, and he brought them back to his father. His father said, What is there in the fence now?" He said, "There are a lot of holes. Where the nails were, there are a lot of holes." So he said, "Let that be a lesson for you, that what your tongue does sometimes cannot be undone." And that's a lesson for you and me, and I remind myself more than you. May Allah forgive me and you, that sometimes what we say, even though we may have said it unintentionally, even though our intention may not have been to hurt somebody or harm somebody, but that hurt happens and that harm happens. And even though we apologize, and at least to the best of my knowledge, I have always apologized, sometimes that apology is not enough. And you are really, you also don't know what to do. I mean, I can't go commit suicide or something, no? I mean, what to do? I apologized. And I apologized in the most abject and, you know, most humble manner possible. But sometimes, and I hope this is not true of me, but I'm saying that sometimes the hurt you cause is so much that people, even after that, they find it very difficult to forgive. Of course, the hadith of Rasulullah, where he said that if somebody comes and apologizes sincerely and you don't accept the apology, then you are the one who is transgressing. But despite that, I mean, I'm saying that, alhamdulillah, we are not going against the hadith, but human emotion is human emotion. So, it is something that we have to remind ourselves that this tongue can be the cause of great harm or it can be the cause of great benefit. Imagine the same tongue is what we use to bring hearts together. It's the same tongue we use to repair relationships, to bring about reconciliation between people, to help people to forgive each other, to help people to, you know, to correct. So, it works both ways. Alhamdulillah, it's not just that you have to just therefore cut off the tongue and throw it away. No, it is a means of great goodness or of harm. Now, having said that, let me clarify that when we are saying something which causes hurt and harm, we are not talking about, for example, if a child or a youth is doing something wrong and the parents reprimand the person and the person says, I am hurt. Well, be hurt. I mean, nobody can, because you need that reprimand. There is no way you are doing something which is wrong and your parents or your teacher or whoever has to pull you up. And if you are hurt by that, then that's, you know, bad luck. I mean, you need that. So, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about legitimately reprimanding somebody for doing something wrong. This is something which is part of tarbiyah, which absolutely must be done. Just sitting silently is not recommended or not required. There is one hadith when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala will question a person and say that in such and such a place, this is what was being said and you kept silent. Why? If somebody was saying something against the hakam of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, and if you keep silent out of a mistaken impression about politeness or kindness or whatever it might be, then this is against the religion. It is your job to speak up and to say what needs to be said. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if something wrong is happening, he said, stop it with your hand. And he said, if you don't have the strength for that, then stop it with your tongue. So the issue of, and if he said you can't even do that, then at least hold it hateful in your heart, and that is a sign of weakness of iman. So therefore, the tongue is to be used for correction and so on. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who use their tongue to deliberately hurt other people, or they use their tongue, may not be deliberately, but when they get angry, then in that anger, there is no control on the tongue. So therefore, it causes a lot of damage. And of course, all that we do with our tongue with respect to slander and ghibat and so on and so forth, which is, I don't know what more to be said. I think that we have said a lot about that. I don't want to prolong this further reminder with that. I just want to mention that. So therefore, this tongue can be a source of great goodness or it can be a source of great harm. And we ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to enable us to ensure that our tongue never does and says something which can be the cause of harm for us. We ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to help us to do that which is pleasing to Him and to save us from that which is not pleasing to Him, because the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said that there will be people who will come to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala who would have done a lot of good. They would have good deeds in enormous quantities, but their tongue will take them into Jahannam. And vice versa, there will be people who will be sinners, but because their tongue is sweet, they talk nicely, they have good manners, they make tawbah, they apologize, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will forgive them and enter them into Jannah. That this does not mean it is a good thing to do sins. No, it's a matter of putting things in perspective. It's a matter of putting things in perspective. If you look at the hadith of the people who Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, who are the destitute people of the Ummah, I mentioned this hadith many times before, what is the primary cause of those people going into Jahannam? It is the tongue. It is what you say. It is, of course, other things. I mean, they actually, you know, physically harming somebody or taking away somebody's rights. Those are also there. But one of the major reasons of those people going into Jahannam is because of the tongue, because of what you do to people. You slander people, you do ghibat of people, you hurt people, you curse people, you insult people. All of these things are things which land up in Jahannam. And that is why very, very important for us to ensure that this tongue of ours, that we do not say anything with it which is not in keeping with the waqar of Islam. Cursing, for example, such a filthy, dirty thing to do. All the time people curse and curse and curse, you know, bad, and people think it's a great thing to curse, to use bad language. Everybody knows bad language. I can curse in three languages at least, fluently. But my point, what is the big deal, you know? So what? The whole point is that it's something which you, even if you picked it up in your youth like we did, at least when the light dawns, at least stop using it, stop using bad language. I mean, today bad language has become such a norm, you know, everyone uses it. I've seen women using it. I mean, discriminating against women. I'm just saying that there was a time when you thought, okay, these are things that you don't say in front of women, and it's disrespectful to say this in mixed company, and you didn't make those kinds of jokes or you didn't use that language. Today, women themselves are doing it. I mean, it's a big deal. So the point is, this is an absolutely filthy thing, especially for Muslims. The same tongue we recite Quran, the same tongue we take the name of Allah, the same tongue we take the name of Muhammad Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then the same tongue you use in using filthy language and cursing, la haula wa quwwata illa billah. Very, very serious for us. There's nothing cute and nice and charming about cursing. Please, let us clean our tongues. Let us make sure that our tongues do not say anything which is not in keeping with the grace of this religion. And we ask Allah Subhanahu wa Taala to enable us to say that which is pleasing, and help us to say that which is and to help us to say that which is pleasing to Him, and to save us from that which is not pleasing to Him. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.